Blog Talk Radio.
As is known, there is a principle in creation, so beautifully and succinctly expressed in the verse in Genesis 1:26, Nasa Adam Batzalmenu, let us make man in our image, which of course includes the blessed woman. For all the levels that are present above, sent down to us by love, are represented in man and woman. This is what is meant when one says that Adam derives from the phrase Adam El Elyon, I resemble the one above. Man, woman, human being, below, parallels the lights and vessels which exist above. And as we said, all the levels that are present above are present in man, woman, below, which is what enables him or her to have some understanding of what goes on above. According to when man, woman, human being carries out within himself or herself such matters as allude to the corresponding levels and aspects of the one above, the spiritual impact of these matters is therefore affected in the world above. Blessings and greetings, and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're blessed to stay alive in this most existential of moments with the intent of being configured to Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Sarachamim, mercies. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio all around the world. We're happy to announce and most humbled by the realization that I want to share with you as a revelation. Our broadcasts are now covering the majority of landmass across the earth. And it is so fitting today that today's program, which we will humbly assert is the inner higher dimension of Blog Talk Radio. This is Soul Class 708 in conversation with Jerome Sage Butler, Part 1. Blesses our eternal creator, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience with Creator's help. Right now, our broadcast is taking place on October 28th. It's now 11:33 a.m., live from Turtle Island equals A USA equals AKA Unified Soul Actualization, which corresponds to 10:30 from the Diamond of the Caribbean, Jamaica. We plan on speaking with co-host Tria Life Television Network prolific lecturer Jerome Sage Butler, who dwells within his spiritual, cognitive, emotional realm, coined promoting Tree of Life values. Butler is driven to tap into his deep ancestral wellsprings and of divine source, correlating, relating, and developing a dialogue with other human souls intended to guide human dialogue towards analyzing the moral and ethical nature we as human beings are well advised to explore. Our program content will focus on empowering women in order to strengthen man. And I want to let you know that Jerome Sage has this wonderful new site on YouTube. It's called Tree of Life Television Network, which I'm sure he'll be elaborating on it later in the show today. If you want to call up in the second half of the program to maybe ask Jerome Sage or myself a question, you're most welcome. Our call number will be 347-838-8338, and that was Philippe Gagné doing a version of Running Away, one of the great songs, one of the most penetrating songs I think ever written by the Rasta visionary singer Bob Marley. And meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones in a peaceful and pleasant manner. Without further ado, our brother from the Diamond of the Caribbean, Jerome Sage Butler. Jerome, it's been too long, almost 3 months since we've been on the airwaves. Welcome aboard.
Blessings and good morning, Brother Don. Shalom, love and blessings to all who are in listening, you know, of our voices and correlating our experiences through their experiences and information. Yes, it has been three, I would say, very long, painful, and difficult, but yet also engaging and, you know, interesting months for us both in both our families. Yes. We've had interesting changes and losses in
yes.
many regards on both sides. And before we go forward, Brother Don, I would just like to extend condolences to you and your wife for the unfortunate passing of her mother. And,
yes.
you know, just strength to you and to the entire family, to your children and to the entire extended family for the separation of, you know, such a precious gift of life that has been a guiding star in both your lives, you know, and the lives of your children. And, you know, strength and love to her husband, who I guess must be going through a very difficult time presently.
Yes.
And I just want to extend that love and that joy and, you know, strength unto you.
Amen. Well, Drumsedge, her name was, she was originally, her family came from Lebanon, and her Lebanese name was Fortuna, which we would translate as fortune. And then as she was growing up in the land of Israel, believe it or not, at the time that my mother-in-law and my father-in-law were growing up, it was actually called Palestine. So there are actually Jewish Palestinians, and my in-laws are Jewish Palestinians, which later became the state of Israel. I don't want to go into that for now. However, Rivka is one of the matriarchs of Israel, which is a very important point because we'll be learning about Rebecca Rivka in the Torah portions coming up. But Drumsedge, I want to thank you and congratulate you for your move to become a little bit more independent, which was under the strain of some pain. But I'm sure you're going to have an exponential gain in spiritual and all matters of materiality for the betterment of you and your entire family. And I'm happy to share with you right now, we are now broadcasting into four African countries. South Africa.
Wonderful. Awesome.
Kenya, Nigeria, and the leading listening country of all the African proud, blessed African continent is Ghana. So right now, in the previous shows we've done, we have over 15% of our listening audience either listening on a live or archived version of our efforts with you and other co-hosts. Also, we've penetrated into Russia. We've penetrated into Japan.
Ah, lovely.
You know?
Growing.
Recently, we added Turkey to our listening audience. So there's a growing...
Oh, I love that. I love
it. We also have in Chile is 10.4% of our 10.4% of our listening. It's Ghana 12.6, India 5.26, Brazil 7.01. Of course, we have the Diamond of the Caribbean. We have Jamaica. We have Cuba. We have the Bahamas. We have the majority of Central America. Guyana is a little bit stubborn. The only country left in South America that is not listening in. But I think they'll catch a fire.
Yes, there we go.
So, Joma, I like
it's good.
So, Joma, just say, I want everyone to know that Jerome Sage is a unique talent. It's just a matter of time when hopefully he's going to be hosting and I can come on. I can have the merit to be a guest on his international program, broadcasting live from Jamaica. I'm not prophesizing. It just makes sense. What Jerome Sage is bringing out into human dialogue on the internet. And I want to share something with also Jerome Sage that I saw a video recently of Peter Tosh, the great singer from the Diamond of the Caribbean, and
yes.
he talked about the wisdom of the bush doctor. And the wisdom of the bush doctor,
yes.
he says, is not just that he knows what bush to use to bring out the cure from the bush or the plant or the seed or the grass. He invests his spiritual powers, blessed as a human being, to facilitate. We're not just talking about the placebo effect, Jerome Sage. We're talking about activating
Absolutely
that
not,
divine
yes.
image, which we talked about at the beginning of the program, which I wanted to spring onto our burgeoning, larger growing audience internationally, that we have to bring more and more into the conversation. I know you're an expert at it, although perhaps, you know, I say it with a more direct biblical, when you do it from the African Taino, Jamaican, and you also bring from biblical, but we have to bring into the equation towards the empowerment of the human experience is to talk about directly and in the faces, of course, in a peaceful and pleasant manner, the idea of the divine
yeah.
image in human being. Your take on these matters.
Brother Dan, this is such an interesting time, you know, and to correlate our personal experience as we go into the grander collective experience, like what we've been going through for the last couple of months, right? If we would
right.
even go back to our first sets of programs and what we were talking about. I remember the first program we approached any kind of gender-based consciousness was Rastafarian's view of the patriarchy and their view of matriarchy, where is women
right.
in Rastafari. And our arguments then was on a different topic, but it came in to correlate a lot of things. Well, how are we? How have we advanced our understanding because of our personal experiences and others have been able now to share? Because our current presentation on, you know, awakening in each individual, or awakening each individual to the divine image, the divine presence, both the sacred feminine and sacred masculine, is that our journeys have made it more active, especially in the last couple of months in our experiences. Because in my own personal experiences, a few months ago, I was in a very, you know, up and down turbulent relationship, and I'm currently no longer in that relationship. And one of the major issues of nurturing a spiritual woman, that video presentation on Celia Media, that I'm no longer a part of Celia Media, but the fact of that presentation came out of the experiences I was having. It was so strange, yet fitting, it was the last topic that was up on the network. So the divine image within man, the divine image within woman, is the absolute template from which our lives should arise. But what has happened is that there's a superimposition, right? And over time, the superimposition caused civilization and the experiences in civilization, how we've thought about femininity and masculinity and how it is sold to our children, as squarely placated consciousness above the actual fact of it. So the divine image is less in the whole process, and people almost, it's when they're cracked or broken, when their external image is broken, that's when they tend to trickle into the presence of the divine image. So right. One of the first issues in terms of repairing or returning the soul to its divine image, its true divine presence, is the first of all, I would think, recognize that a lot of us as humans, no judgments, are coming from shallow depths of our experiences. And if we continue, we will make our lives bitter and miserable, because the ability to transmute energy, to go beyond our negative emotions, for positive emotions, it takes an amount of, you know, will to be more, to know more than this limited spectrum we've been given. And there's no divine woman without divine man. Yes. So as man begin to empower himself, Brother Don, and we begin to say, okay, we have recognized that there's been a deficiency in our true perception, and the age has brought that more clearly through our religious edicts and through the cultural and, you know, personal experiences of individual males. There's this growth and awakening, and hence comes the thought of the divine male. But because of a lot of the, as we were talking about on the first program we touched this, the patriarchal right. thoughts in a lot of male, even as they're awakening, they still see themselves sacred, are themselves more important rather than the feminine right. energy. And I think we are to be understanding, Brother Dan, me and you, that there's no way he could be a sacred masculine and he doesn't see sacred feminine. So we know that is imbalance, and hence it could not be organic. It could not be natural. Right. So sacred man, sacred woman. It is a growth in our understanding. It should be our natural way, but unfortunately, because of development and the superimposition of human culture, moving away from the deeper soul-filled activities to more short-term, transient, and selfish behavior, has shifted the whole pivot away from truth to more away to opinion.
Beautiful. Jerome Sage, thank you. I just want to point out that while you were talking, we have two callers calling in from Florida. Blessed are you both, whoever you may be, sir or ma'am. Just please hold on to the second half if you want to chime in with your thoughts, questions, concerns with Jerome Sage and myself. Jerome Sage, I recently saw there's a lot of discussion, a lot of argument about, you know, and I don't want to go into it. I'll allow you to if you want to, this whole idea of transgender. From a Torah perspective, I like to look as transcending our sexuality, but not forgetting if I'm a man, I'm a man, if I'm a woman, I'm a woman. But I heard a pediatric physician, actually a female, talking about the idea that in the womb, of the two varieties of human being, man or woman, the man is weaker. And that's something that most men are not aware of. They're more prone to pre-birthing injury and, unfortunately, some sort of lack of development in the physical structure, which could also ultimately be connected to the lack of cognitive development, certain types of lacking of human development after birth are more prone in the male. Certain things are in the female. But generally speaking, in the womb, according to this pediatric physician, and again, I didn't do research, I'm just taking for someone who has clinical experience, in the womb, the man is the weaker of the species. But when we come out, okay, then the female actually develops quicker in terms of maturity. But when the man catches up, so to speak, we kind of forget our humble beginnings. I'd like you to comment on that.
Well, Brother Dan, that is a very deep and soul-searching argument from the pediatric physician. And, you know, I look at the argument that most things start out with our perceptions, and then we tend to correlate information along lines of our perception. I'm hoping that the good doctor wasn't starting on a perception of a gender bias based upon, you know, strengths and weaknesses that are correlatively in human experience in the external sense, but is it really true in the sense of the soul? But if the soul is neither male nor female, then the manifestations thereof couldn't create a weakness or a strength, would we not say? But be that as it may, I think, you know, from what I can examine from information and from what I've seen, what we might call weaker or stronger is just a developmental process that is different in the masculine and the feminine. Now, I and as yourself and myself, we've been socialized in the protector-provider role. Now, in my culture and a lot of the cultures placated by the Western materialism, one of the things that came first was more like provider. So first, self-image of man was provider. So let's look at self-image and its application in the masculine. Now, if all you are is a provider and the provider structure based upon society, you're going to work yourself to death. Are you going to work yourself so hard to find parity or respect? You might lose, let me be careful and not be too stringent, you might lose some of the subtler developmental traits. So if we're being socialized as males to fulfill this provider role, to materially acquire, then sometimes sociologically and physiologically, the development of our most subtler, what is termed psychologically feminine energy, is kind of it's thwarted, and as such, we might be imbalanced by that. And what is called male maturity over time, I think, is really a equilibrium of his feminine nature and his masculine nature coming together as reason and activity and event. Now, the feminine energy, the feminine, nurturing, but yet at a higher level of growth and development in the earlier stages, it suggests to me that women, in their natural construction, have to be the mother of creation. And mother and the nurturing element actually is a far more potent element and is far more necessary, because you have to not just be present, you have to be present and account for the offspring, because she carries them inside her. So if we look at it in terms of the what we call intelligent design structures, it would suggest to me a vessel that's designed to carry the seed in a smaller context, the masculine, versus a vessel designed to contain the growth and the development of the seed. Wouldn't you say the design structures would be a little bit different? So I think women are far more developed in the younger stages, because they are who life is grown out of, the meat, the body, the psyche. The soul comes from the man, the seed. The development of the seed, the element that awakes in it, is feminine. So I think gender-based roles, though a bit archaic on the outside, are intrinsic on the inside. I think nature designed men a certain way, and I think nature designed women a certain way. And let's look at the awesome structure that is feminine. It is a structure worthy to be praised. I would say worshipped, in the sense not of the manifestation, but of the spirit, sacred masculine, sacred feminine. So sacred feminine is God. Sacred masculine is God. And they are one.
True. And I would add that we have a oral Torah tradition of Israel that there are three partners in the formation of the human child: the father, the mother, and the creator, who blesses them to bring. And ultimately, whether we talk about the masculine side relating to jawfulness, godliness, or the feminine side, which is connected to godliness, there's a level of Jafunas, godliness, elokus, as we call it, divinity, which is above all of it, but allows the trickling down of these manifestations. And people kind of get, you know, there was a great teacher by the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. He said, realize in creation there are many levels, but ultimately it's all one. It's all oneness. And I think,
truly,
unfortunately, in the Western mind, there is a tendency to compartmentalize and put everything in a deterministic motion, even though quantum physics in the last 100 years or so, or less than 100 years, has shown that ain't necessarily so. Drum Sage, I'd like to point out that the context, which I'd like to start sharing with you, this idea of the empowerment of woman, is recognizing her virtues. And one who recognized the virtues of woman was King Solomon, son of King David. And I am, in order to make it more juicy, I think, I want to also add the oral Torah tradition, which many people are just not aware of. First of all, there are 22 verses in chapter 31, from verse 10 to 31, where from the perspective, from an Israelite cultural perspective, we of Israel, we honor each other by giving names to our children, which also gives honor to the Creator, to give homage to the Most High. When we name our children, we stand before not a book of Torah, but the actual parchment that's been written down for thousands and thousands of years. And it's a very important, all of my children that I named, I merited to name, I did it in front of the Torah to declare before my fellow Jews and to the Creator what the name of my child is. King Solomon had another way of honoring his mother, Bathsheba, and we have to remember too that King Solomon, he was born to King David at an advanced age. King David was 58 years old when Solomon was born. When David passed on, he was 70, and Solomon was ready to ascend to the crown of Israel at the tender age of 12. But it was his mother who basically saved his life, which one can learn about in the Book of Kings. Now, King Solomon, in tribute to his mother, wrote these 22 verses about a woman of valor. And in the 22 verses, because there are 22 letters in the Aleph Bet, the alphabet of Hebrew, from verse 10 to verse 31, where there's 22 verses, each letter of each verse starts with the Hebrew letter. So he was giving tribute to his mother by in subtly giving her praise as the paradigm, as the example of an empowered woman. She was a queen of Israel, of course, but she before that she was an empowered woman with her courage to step up to the plate to join and become one flesh with David to give birth to Solomon, that this was his way. He could not give his mother a new name, but he could praise her in a subtle fashion with
absolutely
the book of in this section of Proverbs. So I'd like to read the first verse. A woman of valor who can find, for her price is beyond pearls. Now, of course, mother, woman of valor, as my teacher said, we don't, our mothers might be in this world biologically, but if they go to heaven, my mother, thank the Most High, is still in this world. Mother has no age, but a mother is of valor, and who could put the price on a mother? It's beyond pearls. Your take on these matters?
Oh, I think, you know, most awesome poetry, and, you know, for those who recite most awesome oratory, in the African and most indigenous, and I'm from the Tainos tradition, and most traditions of terra firma has been feminine in terms of our sacred traditions of being in awe and in praise of the sacred feminine, because the nurturing element of, you know, baby to breast is something psychologically that stays with a child. I don't know how much they do research on it. I know they always say in terms of fertility and maternal health that, you know, breastfeeding is best. But I don't think they sometimes look at the psychology of it. That psychology of that feeding from the breast is a nurturing that is cosmic. It is the earth itself. It is the essence of life. And I think every conscious being, without deep inspiration, lest it was from observation, I'd recognize that every creature in nature that is feminine has this nurturing element to it as it relates to its offspring. Now, while the masculine mental structure is that of the roving, and we can go into psychology of hunter-gatherer and agriculture being feminine, right? So we know that civilization, what holds us, the agriculture, is feminine. The hunter-gatherer aspect is masculine. And even the placation of current society put the hunter-gatherer over the agriculturalist, which is absolutely absurd. So the essence of it is that woman in indigenous tradition, in ancient African tradition, is God, is goddess, is nurturer, is supreme, is the sublime. So essentially, the way in which a child's mind can roll from its father and have other images of power, strength, and self-design, I think the mother is our core. The fact that the child, the offspring, shares the very flesh. Because, sometimes I don't like getting into the religious thing, because when I get into it, it causes the storm. But for the sake of information, I'm going to pull down that veil. Flesh of my flesh. Blood of my blood. Whose flesh is it, Dan? Whose blood is it? It's mother's blood. It is mother's flesh. Yes. So if it is mother's blood and mother's flesh, then creation in indigenous, in its original state, plays women. It is not a sexualized version of egocentrism or sexualized viewpoints of woman presented to us, or dichotomies of that presented by feminine ideologies. No. It is actually our birthing, our life. And because it is our life, religiously, spiritually, just observationally, we recognize that. Now, patriarchy has done a lot to disturb and come downright destroy that. But I understand that the reclamation of, when man is now becoming more evolved and he's saying, I am sacred masculine, I am God in flesh, he's losing his awareness that the only way he's God in flesh is because she is God in flesh too.
Right.
Because how could he be what he is not constructed to be? How could he be something of which he's not constructed? So both are one. Sacred masculine, sacred feminine. But in this world, sacred masculine and the placation of the masculine civilization has pushed women to the side. I need no praise. I'm not praising women because I need some kind of attraction mechanism or some kind of a, fan club. I'm a very difficult character, and it's obvious I am. But one of the things that makes me difficult is understanding how information has constructed our realities and our viewpoints. And if a lot of people are so in tune with this masculine dissonance frequency and have forgotten the resonance frequency of mother, then we are going to have this kind of a discussion for a long time to come, that we need to see women as they are, to see ourselves as we are. And that's just what it is. I mean, how long are we going to continue doing this? I mean, religion is helping, but religion is placated with the minds of the religious. And if they don't evolve, then the edicts are going to stay the same. I know girls are going to grow up to be women directed by masculine efforts and not directed by a balance of both. So men need to be a little bit more nurturing from a younger stage. They don't have to wait until they're 40 and their sexual virility is broken down before they can feel that they need to nurture, right? And the essence of balancing out, when we create the environment as man, because we have the power of the ability of society now, when we create that environment and allow the woman to mature into that, so we're not saying that every woman is acting from her sacred space, but I'm saying if we, the men who have the control, the power, and the design of our society is, begin to act like some conscious individuals, some loving individuals, create an avenue and an atmosphere where she can feel at peace to express herself, more than just so you can hear her. Express herself means that inside her is cosmic energy, like just inside you. Mm-hmm. And that cosmic energy, it doesn't only come out as offspring, as children, it comes out as creation, as things. Purpose, ideas.
I would like to point out that original man called Adam, what is the name Adam? Because it's in the Oral Torah tradition, he was extracted from Adama, earth. Adama, meaning earth, is in the feminine. So originally, in the mindset, the divine mindset of the Creator, whose mindset we don't understand except when it's revealed to us through the prophets and the mystics of creation, we are told man came out of something feminine. At that point, it was called Earth. So, you know, there is now. I personally have, you know, I'm not into worshiping created entities. So I know that some people are, some thought processes, certain cultures, and I hope they'll feel no way, I do not worship Earth. However, I have seen, even from a Torah perspective, we can call the Earth Mother Earth, because it's a Torah teaching that Adam came from Adama. Man came from Earth. Earth, Adama, from the Hebrew spelling, or the Holy Tongue, is a feminine type of expression. I'd like to just go back to this idea of her prices beyond pearls. It's not just that a woman has more materialistic value. I mean, it's such a cheapening of the value of a woman. But because her wisdom is beyond the worth of any type of precious gem. An example that is given from the Midrash, from the Oral Torah tradition, there was a famous rabbi. His name is Rabbi Meir, and actually he is buried out in Tiberia by the Sea of Galilee. And unfortunately, him and his wife lost two sons while they were still alive. So his wife, who is alluded to in this verse from King Solomon, her price is beyond pearls, gently broke the news. How did she break the news gently to her husband to show her deep wisdom, which is worth more than any pearls? That she asked him whether she should return the deposit to the one who entrusted her with it, not revealing the identity of the deposit. When Rabbi Meir said yes, she should return that which was deposited by her, she revealed to him that their two sons who were deposited by him and her were claimed back by the Most High. And that was considered to be a very wise way, because he understood in the laws of business dealings that if one takes a deposit, or they have to return it. And as well, alongside of that, there are two women who stand out in our history, which is really an example for all humanity. Sarah, who was Abraham's wife, was equal in charity and kindness, and she is quoted by Rashi, our great sage, was even greater in the power of prophecies than Abraham. And Noah's wife was known as Naamah, which is known from the Oral Torah tradition, which means pleasant, whose deeds equaled those of Noah, and therefore was saved from the flood. So here we see, Jerome Sage, this idea that a woman is, her price is beyond pearls. It's not just she's, because she works, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. There's no way I can compensate my own wife of valor for all the hours that she fed my children, fed our children, cleaned them up, buried them in their stomach. I mean, a woman is pregnant for 9 months. That's 24/7 for 9 months. There's no amount of money in overtime compensation.
True.
Because basically,
true,
what a woman is by carrying a child full term 9 months is bequeathing upon her husband the fulfillment of the kamem, be fruitful and multiply, which is part of the entranceway into eternal living, to fulfill the Creator's commandment upon the entire human family experience, be fruitful and multiply. Your take on these matters.
Absolutely, be fruitful and multiply. That's the essence of, you know, our creation. Our progeny is what keeps the human experience alive. If we were to cease procreating, well, there would be no humans. There would be no human experience. We would be what we call extinct. So that ends that argument. But to go back a little to the wisdom of the woman, the wisdom that is feminine, you know, a lot of times I examine that wisdom. And wisdom in general, right? But I think the feminine wisdom, in a lot of times, why it can go through such situations to create diplomacy is because that wisdom is based in compassion. And I think the essence of the Christ, the Christos, represented the lotus of the heart, right? So why I think Christ is so unique is that he is the masculine, but ruled under the feminine ambits of compassion, of the heart, that while man, in our externalized reality and how we thought, used reason to conjecture reality and project himself through reality, or rather propel himself through reality, you know, the essence of it is compassion is a greater driver. It is stronger and more magnetic. It comes from the heart. It comes from the highest emanating frequency, the highest emanating chakra in the being. And that resonance, you know, is a lot of times the reason why the feminine wisdom is like meat to the bones. It's like milk to the child. It is nutrients. That's the word I was looking for. It is very nutrients to our souls. Because I think when we look at ancient traditions, a lot of thing in modern tradition that talks about the man being protector, because I started provider and now I've come to protector. Now, a lot of times we say, hey, the man is protector, because we have this fear-based consciousness in our world where the forces of us, the masculine, threaten the feminine. So now the woman needs a strong protector to save her from the predatory instinct of the aggressive male. But a lot of that protector consciousness is based upon the fact that the males aren't being compassionate and they aren't loving, because socialization has made them aggressive and angry and bitter. But when you come to the Christ consciousness, to the consciousness of the feminine, to balance the equation, are you maturing then, put it that way. When you balance the equation, you begin to realize that what causes a better end result, a higher magnetic thrust in the body, driver in the body, is to be more loving and compassionate. A wisdom that women tend to have because over time have been so suppressed and subjugated by the masculine energies in order to still love the male, knowing that a lot of times the aggressors in their lives are males, and a lot of times the hurtful experiences in their lives come through males, right? So it does draw upon a woman when she's her truest self, the wisdom of compassion. And I think, you know, I would love to hear more women speak on that, because I know I hear a lot of men speak on it. And yes, ladies, it's a man speaking on it right now, but that's how it goes until I can hear more ladies. Not that they're not enough, because I don't want to offend any woman, but I mean, I would love to hear more ladies speaking on the compassion of wisdom, the wisdom of compassion, how that is necessary in our time.
Well, Drumsedge, actually, I hope they'll want to speak. I actually have two callers on hold, and I thank them for having the patience. First of all, thank you, listeners. I don't know who you are calling in from different parts of Florida. I'd like to bring them in, Jerome, because I think you'll be flexible. And let's see who they are. And they just have to, callers, you just have to give your first name. You can. I know you're calling from Florida. You don't have to say what city you're from. If you have any questions, comments, concerns for Jerome or myself. So let's call in caller number one. Let's see if they'll come in here. Good morning, caller from Southern Florida. How are you? Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Shalom. Shalom. Would you like to give your first name and what part of Florida you're calling from?
Well, you can hear it?
Yeah, I'm here. I just heard you.
We're hearing you clear, loud and clear.
Good, yeah. Please speak.
It's Williams from Florida.
Oh, William. Oh, hi, William. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. I was just listening. Very good content.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any questions or comments to Jerome and myself?
No questions in particular. Just I have been over my quest and over the journey, my journey, I've been realizing that the feminine energy, or that due to socialization, have started to bring women down, and thus there's stuff like the feminine movement and stuff. So, which I understand the mindset of a woman that believes in that movement, but I believe that in its purest form, if men can show compassion and likewise women reciprocate that, then there will be a more holistic experience between the two.
Amen. Amen. John, I'd like to bring in a second caller, and William, you're welcome to chime in, but you know, now we have like a roundtable discussion. Let's bring in our second caller. Good morning, caller from Florida. You'd like to identify your first name and what part of Florida you're calling from?
Hi, this is Travis, and I'm actually from New York City, but I have a Florida number.
Okay.
Hey,
Travis, shalom. Any comments, questions,
what's up,
for Jerome and myself?
Shalom, brother. When I thought about this is a very good topic because, again, we have a lot of females rising up and I would say trying to throw off, you know, what we believe as a culture, and cultures and different things, which always place the man at the head. And biblically, of course, we have to go with what God says, which says the man is the head. And, you know, he is the head. He was the first created being. But it also says that the woman is the weaker vessel. And if we don't want to use the word weak, we can use the more delicate vessel. It does not mean that it is of lesser value. So I just wish that the feminists and different things like that would really understand that you're not weaker. You're just more delicate in your disposition. But obviously you can do any, you know, do some of the things a man can do and vice versa. Like Jerome was saying, that we both have both energies within each other. And I believe that God only created out of himself. So that means that both energies are in him as well. Some people know God as Father. And some people know God as Nurturer. I've experienced both sides of him. So us being in his image, we have those same qualities. And once we come together and bring that balance, we have more of the Godhead bodily manifested. Me personally, I'm a man. I know who my God is, and I know where my sexuality lies. I am as God created me, straight. But I realize when I look at my life, I have a lot of feminine energy that is manifested in me, and it comes forth as compassion. It comes forth as being, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but very good at socializing with women. And I'm noticing that they respond very well to that, having a lot of female friends and different things and being able to understand women on a deeper level than the average guy. It's very, very interesting. So I hope that in my future marriage, that will be something that most definitely will benefit me in the long run, being able to have that deeper understanding, being able to manifest the feminine energy within myself. So this is a good conversation.
I mean, I like to just
Travis, and you know, yes, I was saying,
yeah,
Travis,
ahead,
you know,
go,
me and you
go,
have
go,
had
go.
Some... Yeah, I was saying, me and Travis have had some conversations in the current state, you know, that he's been, you know, searching through himself to have that greater connection to the wife of his desire. And he's a strong person and a strong understanding. And just hearing you speak here this moment, Travis, I understand truly that you got it. You got the path clear, you know, and that acknowledging the sacred feminine within yourself. Remember, it's attraction. So she has to be drawn to something that is already in her, and you have to be drawn to something that is already in you. That's how the magnetism works.
That's
so,
right.
Donald said something previously about transgender, and in some sense, I think you had alluded to it in your confidence in your sexuality. And I didn't address it before because the spirit kind of had moved past it, but now I'll say something. There are people who are very uncertain, and because of how the modern world has designed the argument around feminine energy, is why we're having it as a manifestation function and not a function of compassion, of respect, of dignity, of care, of protection, of providing. Have you ever tried taking a young chick from its mother, no matter how small that mother is, and see what you're going to have happen to you? Out in the wild, out in nature, it's that way. But if you subdue them and mass manufacture them, well, I think ideologies like this transgender ideology can emerge, because the argument is confused on an external plateau, not on the internal planes. The internal planes is sacrosanct. Male and female, they created them. That means it's out of substance of what was already present. So we don't need to debate masculine and feminine, we just need to affirm and grow in our connection. So those people who have lost the argument on the external sense need to return to source, where the external visions or images of themselves can go back to divine image. So you don't take an argument based upon what's presented in socialization. They are telling you it's okay to be what is not natural. They're saying to you, they built a culture, they built an argument around that. So whether or not we want to acknowledge that, they are products of that argument. The products of nature, we know what that is. The products of man's socialization and man's intelligence, we know what that is.
True.
So I'm thankful, brother, that you and William came in and really chimed a positive vibration, because I love that. I would just love to hear a woman, you know, call in and add a point, because it does relate
to
our realities, you know. Well, blessings, Travis. Bless up, William. We give thanks, man. Always. Brother Don.
If I may chime in, gentlemen, number one, as well, on a certain level, the man is in the masculine mode, is the stronger. I'd like to point out, from the biblical perspective, how many men who are known as our prophets were saved by their wives. We had
We had
Moses, who was saved by Tzipora. Whenever he was told to go to Egypt, an angel stopped him in the middle because he didn't circumcise one of his children. And you could read right in scripture, Zipporah took out a flintstone and called her husband a bridegroom of death because he wasn't going to fulfill the commandment of circumcision. He almost lost his life, even though he'd just been told to redeem the nation of Israel. Number two, Michal, who was the daughter of King Saul, told David to escape from their chamber because King Saul was sending men to kill David. Okay, we also have Abraham and Sarah. We just learned in the recent Torah portions in two instances that when he went to Egypt, he told her, tell them, I am your brother, not your husband. And also with Avimelech, the king of the Philistines, tell him I am your brother, not your husband, because in those cultures they wouldn't, adultery in the ancient times was not socially sanctioned, but to kill the husband to take the wife would have been socially accepted. So we see here, you know, three very important figures in the history of the of pre-Israelite and Israelite history were saved by their wives. So who was stronger? The woman's desire to stand by her convictions, to stand by her man. Moses couldn't save himself. David couldn't save himself. Abraham couldn't save himself. But Sarah could save Abraham, and Michal could save David. And what's the third example I would give? And David, Moses, Zipporah saved Moses. So what we talk about
absolutely
strong, and you know, so you know, and as I mentioned before, the value of a woman of valor, and by the way, the in the Hebrew, Eshet Chayil, literally, she is a woman who is like a soldier. A woman soldiers through life. Who is
yes,
the stronger
yes, because
of the two?
Will be an army.
Right? Yeah. And,
nope.
And Jerome, remember the last program we did, there is opinion from the Israelite tradition that the Amazons were not in South America, but they were deep in Africa. So there's a whole heap of traditions.
I was going to make an allusion to that. Yeah, that I was going to allude to that a lot of the ancient traditions in Africa, the first warriors were feminine. Like I said, feminine tradition was the worship and praise tradition in indigenous earth, in a lot of ancient traditions, because Adama, as we came to before, the essence of feminine, creating masculine. And as we correlated with the essence of protection, in a lot of the Egyptian, the ancient Kemetian statues and structures and representation of masculine and feminine, we always notice that the woman has the man her arm around the man around his waist, and at a certain position. Well, we know in mudras, right, we understand the difference when someone is being protected by the masculine and when someone is being protected by the feminine. So we look at the most ancient mudras, and the ancient mudras representation in statues show the woman as protector. So it's something, Brother Dan, like I said, religion has taught us a lot of things, and I have had issues with presenting information a certain way, and it conflicts my spirit when I see something that is contrary to what a lot of the arguments are suggesting. But see, as I told you, we are said to be protector and provider. But I look at the roles again, and it seems that the protector and the provider in a lot of cases is the woman. And I think they said a single mother household, and they say this is a factor of, you know, dysfunctionality in society. But I think it's a factor of nature. I just do. And I think the man is being let off the hook too much by the woman, too. I think so. And I don't mean she needs to batter him to go get a job. And I think to insist that the child grow, the masculine child grow with an understanding of nurturing and compassion. So when the kids are punching each other's face up at 5 years old, it's not okay. It's not okay to tell them that they need to settle them their disputes like that, or to show who's more testosterone, powerful, or driven, and say that's the way to survive in the world. Because I think that is what is creating the disrespect. I'm sorry. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
I think this is what is creating the disrespect of women by males as they get older, as they're growing up, but their mothers, because somehow she's failing the structural adjustment of her knowledge of compassion and the wisdom that comes from it, to translate it to the child. I think she somehow succeeds to him and allow him to run amok and become this kind of a machoist that thinks that should be subdued to him. But really and truly, like I said, for the life, the fact that she nurtures him on the breast is the greatest psychological thing that means that forever and ever, by nature, a man needs a woman. A man needs a woman by nature.
Yes.
Because of that suckling on the breast. So I think God knew what he did, how he did it, and why he did it.
Yes.
And when we say respect and reverence towards masculine and feminine, sacred masculine and sacred feminine, it's not the externalization. because I think the aberrant culture starts in the praising of the externalization in terms of male body consciousness, female body consciousness, and the adjustments thereof are the switching of the roles. That's all external, based upon confusion and understanding the real flow of it. And I wanted to make this point. The Spirit wanted me to say, when you said about that pediatric physician before,
yes,
one of the things that is already understood in medicine and in biology is that, and the Spirit clearly wanted me to say this without any kind of fear, actually, creation, to be honest, the embryo or the zygote, right? That's what they call it, right? It is neither male nor female up until the eighth day. And on the eighth day is when it closes up and forms a scrotum, that would be the penis, or stays open as a flower of life, and it's a vagina. Medical doctors can confirm or deny, but I've come to understand that's what it is. So it is further on in the process, gender roles become evident. The soul is one, masculine and feminine is one.
Yes.
And the manifestations of both in it is just that the functions are our socialization. And
I just want to point out that I heard her entire presentation on stage, and she was definitely not anti-male, and she was not, you know, she was actually very, you know, pro-binary, you know, male and female sexuality.
Okay.
So
awesome.
That's very important, and she mentioned something I want to share, and Jerome says I think we're going to have this as a continuing. I'd like to do the next several, if not the next 10 programs, about talking about the empowerment of women's strength and men, because I think that we're only
absolutely
touching
necessary.
The tip of the iceberg. And it's because William and Travis, you're willing to join in with us, you know, whether in the first half hour or the second half hour, because your comments have been very potent. But this doctor mentioned that from a clinical experience that she had, she got a phone call from a family who had a boy, firstborn, and then they had a girl, second born, but unfortunately, Hashem have mercy upon us, we shouldn't experience this, that they had a child that was developmentally disabled and needed a lot of investment of the time of the parents. And she was a girl. So the boy, at about 5 or 6 years old, started to wear dresses with the intent that he would get the same attention as baby sister. Not that he really wanted to become a girl, but he saw it as a
means.
You see what I mean? So today, what the doctor was warning is that when children do that, and then parents are getting them to consider not accepting their gender, they can be put on medications to hinder their puberty development, whether it be as a male or female, which could render the woman infertile, and the man also. And these are drugs that are carcinogenic. Such damage.
Yes.
And here we see it was the boy felt the lack of nurturing, so he wanted to act like his sister as a feminine mode because mommy and daddy weren't giving him enough attention. I thought I should bring that out as well.
That's what I'm saying. The externalization, it's the socialization. So we mess up because we accept it and we are basically legislating it. Let's just be honest about it. Because I know I don't want to be insensitive. There are people who are going through situations, let's be honest, they do not know how to deal with it if they see that in their child. And then there's a reinforcement in the society. So this is where my argument is. I think the reinforcement in the society is creating the movement in transgender. I think the reinforcement of belief systems and not the reinforcement of compassion is causing the problem. Now, I think people are misinterpreting acceptance for compassion, you see, because I think we can be compassionate without accepting a behavior, because we realize what caused the behavior in the first place is a dysfunction, a lack of compassion, a lack of nurturing. So if we can address root cause, then I suppose we can get to any result that is wholesome. And so I think it's a job we have in earnest as parents and as a society to see that we are not legislating dysfunction. I know there are people on both sides of the argument listening, and I don't ever want to offend, but I want the information to be presented as clearly as possible. That you saying that you love your son or your daughter who is saying that they're the opposite sex, and obviously they're not, are you refusing to accept the behavior, is not turning your back on your child, and is not lacking in compassion. Our compassion is not just expressing the acceptance of the behavior. It is expressed in deeper understanding. So you cannot accept the behavior, and still be compassionate to your child. And I would like someone to reason one of those arguments and present more stuff like that, because, as I say, if we continue on that path, the dysfunction becomes normalized, and we have a society of confused, hurt individuals who will do the same to others at an exponential rate because information is advancing so far. You know, so masculine and feminine, we all need to get along, work together. Females need to improve their self-worth, because I you notice I have not presented a judgment too hard towards them in this program. I've not said anything. I'm just saying, from the masculine point of view, that's all I can present. So my what I'm imploring the females, my understanding is, I would like to see them more growing in their own awareness of their own divinity, the nature of the divine in them, and it will correlate to us. So,
amen.
Hear me clearly. I don't think the women, at a final point, I don't think these women should be saying so much, oh, the man has failed us, the man has failed us. I think, like how the man is coming to consciousness, examine your own behavior. I think that's the direction. The feminine to examine how more to address the need for compassion in us, reasoning with us, and finding better ways to parent the children, and then take it from there.
Okay. Jordan says, I'd like to thank you. I'd like to give 30 seconds to Williams, and then Travis, and then I'll allow you to make your pronouncement, how people can connect with you in the international cyberspace network. Williams, any concluding statements before we sign off today? And thank you for coming on today.
Oh, no problem. I don't have any concluding statements. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up that I've been realizing is that a lot of time it's, for example, social media or music, all of that continues to perpetuate the female, and seeing that how men start to bash them, call them the B words or whatnot. So when Travis mentioned that, he mentioned that women need to, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought, but pretty much if we can stop, to Travis, and then I'll come back.
Okay, Travis, any concluding statements?
Sure, absolutely. I think that people need to get in touch with the other side of themselves, whether it be for the feminine, get in touch with the masculine side of yourself healthily, and the opposite for the male. That way, when we come together, we can better complement and better match one another and bring, you know, our gifts to the table. One thing that I also want to leave with the listeners and everything is that to stop allowing the news and the media and even culture, anything you hear, anything that you're being brainwashed or force-fed with, make your mind up for you and begin to set templates in your head as far as what it's supposed to be, because I believe that only God is the one in control of that. Case in point, you know, you may have a woman that works and the man, he's a stay-at-home dad, or, you know, whatever the case is, whatever works for you will work for you, and only God knows what will work for you. So allow yourself that freedom and that template to get exactly what it is that you need in life.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, John, for coming. And, of course, Jerome Sage, our co-host today. But how can people around the world, from Russia to South Africa to California to South Korea to Japan to the vast majority of the landmass of the world, how can they connect with you through cyberspace?
Blessings, Brother Dan. Once again, give thanks to Williams and Travis, as always, man. Thank you. Blessings to the people. And, you know, give thanks, Brother Dan, for an awesome show. You can contact me at Trail Life Television Network. You can find our programs, and that's on YouTube. And Trail Life is TREEALIFE. That's Tree Alive Television Networks. And also, Celia Media, that is SEALA Media on YouTube. You can catch up on the videos and information offerings, or you can call me at, you know, 1-876-340-5326. That is 1-876-340-5326. Or email me, jsbsage, that is all lowercase, jsbsage, S-A-G-E, and that's all one word, at gmail.com. And I just want to say to the sacred feminine, I know, as a sacred masculine, as a man, manifesting a presence of the divine, I've also manifested negativities towards the feminine. I've also manifested disrespect and dishonor towards the feminine. I've been a wayward and dishonorable person towards the feminine in a lot of ways. But I've also grown and learned from those dishonor and those disrespect and learned that I must be in tune with my true self to be able to be in tune with her true self. So anointing and aligning with the feminine in my masculine, I give thanks to my mother, Lynette Ebers, for being a great mother to me, mothering my creation, mothering my life, and taking care of me up until this point. I love her very much, and I thank all the women in my life who has been there, even though sometimes I've been very difficult. Love you very much. Thank you very much. Be honored. Blessing.
Thank you, Drum Sage Butler and Travis and William, blessed all. This is Dante Siguman, your local CyberSafe International Torah activist, wishing everyone that we should take to heart these words. I think there was a lot of hearts were revealed today, and I think this is just, again, as I mentioned earlier in the program, this is the tip of the iceberg. I'd like to mention to everyone that we're going to end off with a song, which is coming out of Israel. It's about not the masculine, not the feminine, but the whole idea that every constellation in the universe revolves from below to above, because everything is below the Creator, and from the hidden chariots there is a striking, and as the constellations go up and down, there is a pleasantness that is elevated and descends down and moves through the world. There is an ancient blowing of a shofar, the ram's horn, from the depths of the levels to touch every human soul, because every human soul is contained within our divine image, will help us get out in scrimmage. Our telem Elohim is no dream. May we continue in the way of Ahavachad, one love, Gurlachad, one destiny, Kolon for Allah's Badachinum Daki Shalom, in a pleasant and peaceful way. And we're going to end off with Shote and Nevuah. These are literally the rods of prophecy coming out of the Holy Land of Israel. And I look forward to reconvening with Jerome Sage Butler and Travis and Williams in the coming month. And hopefully we'll be able to get a feminine voice to lead us along the way, and on a level that's equal. She'll reveal our strength. She'll reveal her strength, and hopefully she'll empower us to reveal our strength. And iron sharpens iron. Take care, everyone.
מסובב הגלגל סביב.